Today's guest, former NFL quarterback and business speaker, Tom Flick. You're listening to the Eagles Talent Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Eagles Talent Speakers Bureau, for speakers who inspire, educate, and entertain. You can find us online at eaglestalent.com. Remember, you can listen to our podcast on our website or subscribe on iTunes by simply typing in Eagles Talent on the iTunes search bar. If you're interested in bringing in any of the speakers in that we have as guests on our podcast, you can do so by visiting us online at eaglestalent.com. Tom Flick played quarterback in the NFL for the Redskins, Patriots, Browns, Chargers, and Jets. Other than his athletic accomplishments, he's also a highly sought-after business speaker. His motivating and inspirational speeches captivate audiences across the country. Tom sat down with our own Sheldon Senek to give us his views on success and leadership. Tom Flick, welcome to the Eagles Talent Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Sheldon. Thank you.
Tom, before becoming a speaker, you spent the early part of your life playing football. You played for the University of Washington with two Rose Bowl appearances and then drafted into the NFL. How priceless were those experiences for you?
Well, goodness sakes, you know, Sheldon, first and foremost, being around members of a team and being on a team and then in the position of being the quarterback of the team, tremendous skills were learned about how to lead men, how to communicate with them, how to get focused on a mission and a strategy and how to pull it off against difficult odds. And I think I learned early in life that being a leader was really an enjoyable thing to do. Mm-hmm. Not that you're necessarily in the limelight, so to speak, but I think I enjoyed more about just gathering 10 of the guys on the field against difficult odds and marching the ball down the field and successfully putting it over the goal line. And from that gained just a lot of insight about human nature, how people function, mm-hmm. how you go about inspiring people and communicating things to people, and ultimately serving people. And I think that's what a quarterback does, although I don't think that's really recognized or acknowledged by people who might watch the game from the stands.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you know, it's football season, and many of the rookies are experiencing the NFL training camps and looking to perhaps start their first game. How difficult is that transition from college to pros?
Well, it's a huge leap, and I think the biggest challenge in all that is just it's they're being overwhelmed by knowledge and information. I think their brains are probably on overload. And that's the biggest jump I think that anybody has. Everybody's fast, and everybody's strong, but being able to comprehend the information and apply it to physical movements and doing it in very quick situations is really the key to people, you know, making the team. I remember many guys who could vertical jump over 40 inches and could lift a lot of weight and extremely fast, but were packed up after a couple of weeks of training camp and heading home just because they couldn't absorb the information. So that's the critical part.
While some may think of you as a football player who speaks, you're so much more. I'd even say a truly gifted speaker who played football. How did your speaking career come about?
Well, I appreciate the compliment, and I thank you for noticing that. And I think, you know, when I started playing football and I began with the Washington Redskins, my locker mate next to me was a guy named Joe Theismann who went out and spoke. And I really, at that age of 21, really not having a concept of why he was out and why companies were seeking his presence to speak to them. And then pretty soon I got put two and two together and went up to our PR director and asked if I could give this thing a try. And went out, and as soon as I spoke, I realized what a great connection and correlation to playing quarterback. And the reason I say that is because you're communicating to people, you're inspiring people, you're challenging people, you're delivering information, you're creating, in some sense, in their minds, a belief system that they could pull it off. You're showing blind spots. And I loved it. I found an instant connection to it, although that's never what I thought I would do for a career until after I left the NFL. And then I had some agencies contact me and say, we've heard you speak and heard about you speaking, and would you come and be part of our stable of speakers? And I thought, you know, I'll do this for a year or so, and then I need to get on with life's work. Mm-hmm. And that was 22 years ago. But one point that I do really appreciate is that when I began speaking professionally, a big thing that was important to me was I did not want to be a gentleman who spoke in front of audiences and talked about old football stories. Mm-hmm. Not that that's wrong. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I just didn't want to be couched in that fashion. And so for the first 4 or 5 years, I didn't let anybody know that I played. At least I didn't volunteer any of that information. Mm-hmm. And just went out and tried to stand on my own 2 feet. I'm a voracious reader. I have some business background. And so I just got into books and then sought mentors. And one of those gentlemen being Dennis Goen, who is now with Cotter International. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I went. And then finally some gentlemen came by. Some of these men said, hey, it would be wise if you just let some people in to your history of playing in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I use that more with self-deprecating humor, loosening up an audience, letting them know that I'm on this journey with them of leadership and leading change and understanding what that's all about. And so it's become a very enjoyable career. And really, it's a calling. I think football was a stepping stone to what I'm really wired to do, and that's to speak what I'm doing presently.
The economy. This hasn't been the most popular word in business lately, as it has probably become more synonymous with a roller coaster. What has been your message to organizations lately when you speak?
Well, everybody is confused and panicked by the economic situation, has been since 2007. Mm-hmm. And the biggest challenge that I find in most organizations is this just this sense of complacency. Who can be complacent? Very, very, very bright people. You mm-hmm. can be, and I can be as well. And what's interesting, most of the time, people that are complacent don't recognize that they are. And I find that's the biggest challenge. They keep trying to do the same thing they did prior to the economic situation. And and in the face of that, they're struggling and scrambling. And complacency is this kind of a sleepy, steadfast contentment with the status quo. And it's based really on past success. And it's really saying in their minds and hearts, you know, what we're doing is just fine. Yeah, we're down 20%, but our competition's down 30%. And so we're really not that bad off. Mm-hmm. And yet they don't really see how far they've slipped. That, I find, is a real challenge. I think the other thing is this issue of leadership versus management issue. Mm-hmm. And I think leadership is the name of the game. And the reason I say that is simply because it's interesting to communicate with leaders, even executives at high levels, that will use leadership and management many times unknowingly in the same sentences, thinking they're meaning the same thing. Mm-hmm. They're two wholly different animals. Management is this really kind of a status quo. It's budgeting and planning and staffing and controlling, mm-hmm. keeping things essentially the same. It's taking complex systems and making them run like they're intended to run, mm-hmm. hour after hour, day after day, efficiently and effectively. And it's really important. It's critical. I'm not bashing management. I'm not saying management is bad and leadership is good. Mm-hmm. It's just that leadership is something different. It's creating vision and buy-in and motivating action and communicating the vision. And it's really taking systems and people and creating evolution and growth and opportunities. And so I think what we need right now is leadership, and I think how people communicate leadership is a real big issue. I speak a lot about that, about a leader's voice, mm-hmm. about how we speak to ourselves, how we speak to our internal constituents, and that's a real important thing. All of that to overcome this fear and panic that we find ourselves in through the economic challenges.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to Sports Talk the other day, and there was a coach being interviewed, and he said, I can't win the Super Bowl with the players I don't have. And in business, do you think that's a common trap to blame lack of success, perhaps on whether it be the economy, the technology, or personnel?
I think it is. I think any leader. I think great leaders have... I find that great leaders view the situation they find themselves in. They'll say, I'll take what you give me, and that will be enough for now. Mm-hmm. And what that says essentially is this group amongst us here, we'll do something with it. We can work with this, and we can make this work. And mm-hmm. And I think it is a cop-out for most leaders to say something like that. What it does, it just cuts morale to the quick. It cuts people off at the knees. It says, you know, I'm not worthy enough, I'm not good enough. And yet great coaches or great leaders, excuse me, I find are great coaches where they actually will take people in and say, listen, I'm going to coach you up. Let's find out what your weaknesses are. What are your strengths?
Mm-hmm.
How can I coach you to your strengths? What does success look like to you? How do you want me to coach you so you can achieve your full potential at the position that you're at?
Creating attitudes. You have what you call stop attitudes and go attitudes. Would you mind talking a little more about these?
Well, over the years, Dennis Goen, who's a partner, and Larry Holtz, gentlemen, we just came up with a concept. We started to see how we began to get pushback whenever anyone used the words good or bad or positive or negative. And I think when you communicate with somebody or try and coach somebody, if some of that phraseology is used, emotionally, we found people were trying to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would give intellectual assent to what you might be saying to them, but in essence, what they were doing is, you know, hey, I'm defending myself because those are pretty strong words you're saying against me. And so we just felt it's an easier terminology for leaders to use the word stop and go. That's a go attitude. That's a stop attitude. It's pretty benign terminology. It doesn't affect or offend anybody. And so it's a little tweak in the brain, but I got to tell you that it's very efficient, and it does work in people. And so I find a lot of companies, after I speak, will write back and say, hey, we've adopted our go attitudes. We're on our go and grow side. And it's a little bit, but I got to tell you, it's valuable information for the brain. The brain needs that a lot because it gets bombarded with so much negative information. It'll take a positive comment. It'll take about 5 or 6 positive comments to override just one negative comment. And, of course, with the news that we have and turning on all the PDAs and smartphones and computers and cell phones and TV and so forth, we're bombarded with how difficult and challenging everything is. And so we sit really on our heels in kind of a passive or fearful mode, and yet we need to really be on our toes moving forward on a go and grow side. And so that's why we came up with the terminology. It's been embraced by many, many organizations, and we love it just because it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. There's no strings attached to it. We're either on our go and grow side or on our stop side. If we are on a stop side, here's ways to get out of it. So
sometimes I feel we define ourselves by the work we perform, perhaps instead of how we make a difference in people's lives. How can we begin to change that thinking to the latter?
That's a great question, Sheldon. I just think, you know, it's interesting. I don't know the exact number, so forgive me for not knowing, but I think it might be 68 or some high number, 68% or maybe 72% of the people, employees who work for their organizations are being called a name they don't even want to be called. I think we maybe all saw the movie The Blind Side,
right,
where the large gentleman, the young man, was always called Big Mike, Big Mike, Big Mike. And he finally said one day, I would like to be called Michael. And those little tiny things that we're just not even aware of, that we're all human beings that come to work, we all have challenges, there's no perfect life, no perfect spouse, no perfect child, no perfect coworker, and that we struggle with those things. And I think empathy, when someone says, hey, we're in this together, but let's get to know each other, let's build relationships, let's lean on each other, let's figure out what makes each of us go. Let's know more about just what our workloads are, but maybe what inspires you and what motivates you and what do you think about life. And I think what that does, it opens people up. It opens them up to their go side. It makes them, I think, creative. It makes them part of the process. I don't know if you've ever heard or read the Lindell study. That's where they took, they did a poll with employees and asked them, what would you like? And they listed a bunch of things. We want to be part of the process. We want to be recognized for our work. We want to be part of the decision making. They went to employee or executives of these employees and gave them the same quiz. What do you think your employees want? And the first thing they thought and listed was, well, they want a raise. Well, that's not true. That was 6 out of 10 on the employees list. And so I think just getting to know people, I think all great relationships, all good business environments are really established by great relationships. And I think that's the first place to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, traditionally, leadership has seemingly come from the top down. Do you think in recent times there's a shift in this that perhaps leadership encompasses people on every level of the company?
Absolutely. I think leadership is with a small L, not a capital L. I think it's from top to bottom and bottom to top. And I think if you don't look at it that way, I think you're in trouble. And the reason I say that is I don't think it's possible for one charismatic leader to lead the change alone. I just don't think that's going to happen anymore. Change, we've left the episodic changed 15 years ago, where it would roll around every 1 or 2 years, and we could rally enough resources and so forth to tackle it and take it on. But change is now continuous. It's just coming at us from so many different angles with globalization and technology. And so because of that, we need leadership at all different levels. And so when I communicate and speak to audiences, I try and break down this. If I'm speaking to a group of managers, I try and add on to that no longer are you a manager, you are a manager/leader. And I want you to start thinking of yourself that way. I want you to start communicating that amongst yourselves, that you are a manager/leader. I've talked to many employees and asked them, or executives, excuse me, who do you expect to lead on your team? Some will say my executive team and I.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them will say, from the person answering the phone to myself and everybody in between. And if they don't see themselves as leaders, then they don't belong in this organization. I think those executives have a grasp on the pulse of what really needs to be the future understanding of how we move forward, and that is leadership is going to lead the way.
So what's the best piece of advice you were ever given that perhaps helped you in football and beyond?
Well, I heard an executive one time many years ago caught my attention when he said, my role is to achieve my goals for my people's reasons. And I thought, wow, that's wisdom. That is really intelligent. Mm. And so, he's the leader. He's got to chart the course, but yet he's going to get there inspiring other people, making sure that they have a stake in the skin in the game. And I found that to be great, great wisdom from someone who's in a position of leadership. And I think that's really true if we could understand that we're all in this thing together, all rowing in the same direction, going all out. I think we're going to get there faster than one guy pulling. It's more of a push-pull concept, if you can think about it. I'd rather be, pushed or instead of being yanked, So I think that's it. I think that's some of the greatest wisdom I've ever heard. And yet, I think from a football perspective, it's just, I just come to find that everybody's got a life. And it may sound so trivial and so trite, probably is the correct word to say, but I think when we really, really respect and honor humans and people and who they are and what they bring to the table, I think we get so much more out of folks. I think being an encourager of people is a better way than just someone who's always pointing information at them and asking them to do things. And I think recognizing, honoring, and taking care of people is going to be a huge advantage for people, for organizations anyway.
Mm-hmm. Do you still follow the game, either pro or college?
I do a little bit. I would have to say that I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
My job is pretty busy, and I love it. I think, it's a joy to have it. I do watch. I'm a Seahawks fan because I live in Seattle. I'm a Husky fan because I'm a former player. It's real interesting. Most of the guys I played with are now coaches in the NFL.
Oh, really?
And okay. So it's nice. Football's got long legs, and it's a small little fraternity of men who have played in it, so it's neat to stay connected in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tom Flick, thank you so much for joining me again on our podcast, and it's truly been a pleasure having you as a guest.
Sheldon, it has been my honor. Thanks for having me.
This has been the Eagles Talent Podcast. For more information, visit our website at eaglestalent.com.